Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 13, Text 60. Kindly repeat. Yatra,
Yatra,
Naisarga,
Naisarga,
Durvaira,
Durvaira,
Sahasan,
Sahasan,
Nri,
Nri,
Mrigadaya,
Mrigadaya,
Mitrani Vadi, Mitran, Mitranivadita Vasa,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Vruta,
Vruta,
Vrut,
Rot,
Tarsakadikam,
Tarsakadikam,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Mitrani Vajita Tavasa,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Druta Ruta Sakadikam,
Druta Ruta Sakadikam,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Ruta Ruta Sakarikam,
Ruta Ruta Sakarikam,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Sahasandri, Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Mitrani Vajit, Mitrani Vajit, Tavasa,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Druta Ruta Sakarikam,
Druta Ruta Sakarikam, Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Druta Ruta Sakarikam,
Druta Ruta Sakarikam,
Yatranai Sarga Durvaira,
Sahasandri Mrigadaya,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Mitrani Vajita Vasa,
Druta Ruta Shakalikam,
Druta Ruta Shakalikam,
Yatranai
Sarga Durvaira,
Sahasandri
Mrigadaya,
Mitrani
Vajita Vasa,
Druta
Ruta Shakarikam,
Yatranai
Sarga Durvaira,
Sahasandri
Mrigadaya,
Mitrani
Vajita Vasa,
Druta
Ruta Shakarikam,
Yatra,
Yatra,
where? Naisarga,
Naisarga,
by nature,
by nature,
Durvaira,
Durvaira,
living in enmity,
living in enmity,
Sahasam,
Sahasam,
live together,
live together,
Mri,
Mri,
human beings,
human beings,
Mriga Adaya,
Mriga Adaya,
and animals,
and animals,
Mitrani,
Mitrani,
friends,
friends,
Iva,
Iva,
like, Adita,
Adita,
of Lord Sri Krishna,
of Lord Sri Krishna,
Avasa,
Avasa,
residence,
residence,
Druta,
Druta,
gone away,
gone away,
Rut,
Rut,
anger,
anger,
Tarsaka Adikam,
Tarsaka Adikam,
thirst and so on.
First and so on.
Translation. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there's no hunger, anger, no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. Purport. The word vana means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the even in this material world, in the forest, animals live together, and when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, "Come here and take a little milk." Thus, envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Vana, the forest, but in Vrindavana there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtana janana tana paro. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is a specific qualification of Vrindavana. In Vrindavana, everyone is happy. Okay, very good. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy, everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause meat sheep and steal food. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavana life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. Inhabitants of Vrindavana think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet, those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, would gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, "All the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see: happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities." This is the nature of Vrindavana. Harava Bhaktasya Kutu Mahad Guna. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. Omaganat Miranda Ganaganas Lakya Shakshuda Miritamanatasme Shivaya Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristai Bhattari Srimati Bhatti Vidanta Santanama Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Vani Prachana Vyasasimara. So the verse was Yatra Naisarga Durvaira Sahas Sahasam Vimrigaraya Mitra Nivajitava Sa Trutarutarsakarikam. Vrindavan is a transcendental abode of the Lord where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical Both human beings and fierce animals live there together in a transcendental friendship. This sounds good. This is how it should be. Maybe it could be. It reminds me of the Jehovah's Witness. I'm sorry. You know, this they got something right, you know. The final destination is Vrindavan, as it's described here. Because they have this picture where, of course, the people walking around in suit, I don't know if they're suit and tie, or what they have on them, but they're the man and human are so happy, and then there's the tigers and I don't know what else is walking around, they're all so peacefully and they pat them. Because you say, is this possible? It sounds like a little bit of exaggeration, yes. But then you have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the way through the Jarikanda forest, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being in the ecstasy of love of Godhead, and he's walking by there and having deers and tigers chant the holy name or make sankirtan, and he said in some place that they kiss each other. How can a deer to kiss? It would be a deadly kiss by a tiger. And then I was when he was walking there, how was it? There was a tiger lying on the ground and sleeping, and he just came and he kicked it and told it, you know, wake up, chant Hare Krishna. Okay. And then he got up and he chanted. I can't help to think that Prabhupada came from the town. He was a town boy. But he understood things in the right way. But for him, he says, the word vana means forest. We are afraid of the forest. I do not wish to go there. That is like, oh, finally a forest. Let's go there. You know, then we, and so, but then for those who are not used to the forest, oh, forest, very dangerous. What happens there? But of course, then we have different kind of jungles. So the jungle, yes, of course, it can be dangerous because there, yes, we maybe don't have that experience in Sweden, all that there's tigers and even wolves are starting to come back a little bit, but bears, they have in North Sweden, but usually they're quite peaceful. So, okay, but if there's tigers who actually will jump on you and eat you up, then maybe you'll feel a little bit scared to go there. On the other hand, we have the jungles, the modern big town, we call them the big town jungle, that is more dangerous. Someone comes and pickpockets you, or rob you, or I don't know, kill you. Anything can happen. So that way the forest is a dangerous place. And this whole world, the forest of material existence. You say that the forest of material existence. Who used to say that?
Or ocean of material suffering.
Yeah, there's ocean of material suffering. So that forest of material existence is also compared with the forest. Samsara dhavana. And then the spiritual master comes and pours rain of mercy in the form of spiritual instructions, and that extinguishes the forest fire. Okay. The forest fire in material existence. The material existence is like a forest fire. If you're forest and if you're in the forest and then there's a fire, then that's scary because you don't know what's going to happen. We had a forest fire over here in 2002. Well, a little bit. Well, it wasn't so scary because this forest is not so bad. You know, last year, the year before, there was this heavy drought in Russia, and there was all these forest fires. I saw some on YouTube, you know. It was really moving quickly, and you know, you just run to get out of the way of it, so to say. So that is the forest fire of material existence. It's scary. Because that fire, if you end up in that fire, you may not get away. It's not, you know, it's very dangerous. Okay, but here we have the Vrindavan forest. There's no fires. No, there's fires. We read about it even in the Vrindavan forest. There is fires. At Lord Krishna's time, well, at least in Braj, there was these fires that That was the boys were, the cows were surrounded with fire, and then Krishna, and then Krishna was there, and he just told them, you just close your eyes. And then it says, Krishna, whatever, sucked up all the fire. So the, okay, that, yeah. So it happened. Well, of course, here Prabhupada describes it all. The forest animals are as good as demigods in Vrindavan, for they have no envy. Well, it says, even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together. When they go to drink water, they do not attack him. Prabhupada makes that statement, so it must be true. But sometimes he gave zebras going to the water hole. But that is when it's drought. At least when it's drought, they go to the water hole, and then this tigers is waiting there for some zebra to come. Yeah. In general, okay, that's one thing with the tigers. They take one, eat it up, and then they let the others be. Okay. Rob says, envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there's no sense gratification. For the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. So one sense says, no sense gratification. It's, we can say there's enough sense gratification for everyone, used to be. And then he speaks about the animals. The animals in Vrindavan are not envious to the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keeps cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, come here and take a little milk. Thus envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. So this was a time, not so long time ago, when there was a forest in Vrindavan and the sadhus were living there and keeping some cows, milking the cows and giving some milk to the tiger. And then the tiger, well, here we say the tigers are as good as demigods. They are not the tiger's animals, and the darling. And the guy says, oh, no, why should I go there? Why should I take those cows? Because I'm getting my share. But the tiger, the animals can also understand some things. Everyone is happy by pleasing Krishna. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. So in that way, if that is a business, then there can be peace and there can be happiness. So this is Vrindavan, and that's the Vrindavan we want to go to. And then they said, no, Vrindavan. So it's kind of disappearing from the external vision because there's so many. I don't know, what was it? Maybe it's quite okay there. What did you say? How was it? No.
Yeah, it's getting more and more buildings and less and less forest.
Less and less trees. So.
Yeah, actually about forest one cannot speak anymore. One speaks about trees maybe nowadays.
So it's like in Vrindavan, in one sense at Vrindavan, well, there's a temple this going on, but there was Bhagavan was there also now, in Kartik and some other devotees. And he said it was a little bit scary, Vrindavan now, because there's so much cars and then one notice that the monkeys, they were speaking with Srivatsa Goswami with Radharaman temple. And he said, actually, the monkeys are getting disturbed because, you know, whatever they are used to have, their Vrindavan is just disappearing. They're in Darwin, you know, there's nowhere to go for them. There's all these concrete buildings and things like that. So they actually became very agitated and aggressive. And then we made a thought about that. That actually, but whereas the monkeys, by Radha Kun, they're peaceful. And actually, I made that reflection while I was going on Parikram around Govardhan and Radhakund, and then we notice that the monkeys by Radhakund, they look more peaceful. They have a different expression in the face. They're not so reddish, and but then you come to Vrindavan, they're like reddish, ready, agitated, because they really have to struggle. I mean, just like that. Okay. So this is the Krishna's Vrindavan. Prabhupada, I take it that the Prabhupada must have been, he's describing Krishna's Vrindavan. That's well, where the devotees choose to see it all. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. So that's like a challenge. Everyone has the right to live. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. Inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. And that whatever is provided by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. And then one way can see that, the more natural people or natural people, like the Red Indians, they also have these, I said they had, you know, when you were growing food, there's some place I was seeing there, when you grow food, you have a field, you sow. And it's understood that, like, the area closest to the forest, that's for the animals. You sow so that the animals can have something also. You make that a part of the calculation. And then, of course, as we spoke yesterday, when things are done nicely, there's enough for everyone. But when we don't do it nicely according to Krishna's plan, then all of a sudden that's not enough. So we have to kill the animals. Okay, this mentality, okay, Prabhupada said, this mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. So that is the point Prabhupada. The sadhana can't come all of a sudden, but it gradually developed. We can also say that our Krishna consciousness is something that we gradually develop. It's not a... Well, it goes like that. Okay, now I'm Krishna conscious. Okay. I've been in the temple how many days? A month, you know. Yeah, and now I'm Krishna conscious. But I've been a decade. Well, then something maybe. Of course, on the one hand, something happens quite quickly. On one level, something happens quite quickly in the beginning. But then there's a gradual process. Mm-hmm. But sadhana, one can come to this platform. Yet in the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet, those whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. That's, we made the question for a food for life. You know, okay, we're going to feed the poor. And because when there's a genuine need, we go and feed, they will be appreciative of it. And of course then you distribute it knowing it's being prasadam, with the mentality that this is Krishna's prasadam. So then it may give a different mentality. Otherwise sometimes people think, oh, they're giving food for free, what a foolish people, let's take advantage of that. So then you better watch out. Prabhupada says, the value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. And then is this then the quote from this, for instance, an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, all the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities. I don't know, this report must have been a devotee. But maybe also just an honest, rare, honest reporter. Active in the service of happiness, happy, well, mostly the devotees are happy, but sometimes not. Good health. Mm-hmm. I've been too long in this Krishna consciousness movement. You become kind of cynical. Yes, good health, happiness. Yeah, okay. I know. Actually, when I join, I'm sorry. I should try to lift you up here. But when I joined, there was this. Well, my parents had, of course, a little bit of a problem with me becoming a devotee, in the beginning at least. And they were taking guidance, discussing it with all kinds of people, yeah, I understood it. So they had one friend, who was a lady, unfortunately. I never really met her, not as a devotee. I met her before I became a devotee, but I wasn't so close. She was a member of this Spiritist Association where they made these seances where the spirits come and manifest and speak. And in case, I don't know how she got that together, she says, yes, but after 20 years, that was in the beginning when I just, my parents told me that, yes, after 20 years, they will be disappointed. Because it didn't turn out the way they thought. That's quite. I'm thinking, well, maybe she was correct. 20 years. So to some, you know, there's a danger of becoming disappointed because, well, look here, you know, all happy, peace of mind. What more? What was it said here? Good health, good. So it's have to take care of your health. Expect Krishna to take care of your health. And yet sometimes it may not happen. But in one sense, maybe an idealistic view of how it's going to turn out, and then I sometimes say, well, it didn't turn out the way I thought. And that's good. It became much better. But maybe not, then, because then you have this like picture of the Jehovah's Witness again. About their heaven, you know. You know, looks a little bit funny in a way. You know, kind of. But in some way, having a real Vrindavan, where we have tigers, bears, wolves, and we can feed them some milk, and they say, okay, good. We leave the cows at Amrik's court in peace because. You know, I mean, that was the sadhu's life of the past, and these sadhus living in Vrindavan. Or in the forest, in the ashrams, they were healthy, they were peaceful. One says, Harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may. Okay. And say, no, but. can be happy. Without Krishna, one may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. Okay, what is it? Well, you may have good karma and that have be happy, so to say. But the happiness of material existence is dangerous. There is happiness and distress. These things come and go. So sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're distressed. So in one sense, when we learn to live with the fact that sometimes we're happy and sometimes we're distressed, then we can be happy. Well, then you can be at peace of mind, because the devotees, they in one sense, they're not happy. Well, they don't derive their happiness from the happy circumstances in the material sense. Just like this picture now. Then we have another picture of this. You saw that? No, who was it? Did you? In any case, there's another. We have two pictures in the book. Two pictures of Prabhupada. Whereas there's a picture taken of Prabhupada in the early days, 67 or something, when he's sitting there with it. There's his Bhagatam, and then he's sitting with his beard bag, and it looks very serious. So then we have this picture. There's a photo, and then there's a picture painted by a god brother of mine, and there's another picture. Now showed up that's painted by some Swedish devotee in the 80s. Well, the point is, Prabhupada looks serious. So the devotee asked Prabhupada, why are you so sad? Looking so sad. And the Prabhupada said, I'm not sad. I was a moment of greatest ecstasy. So we can say, the happiness has to be within. Otherwise, how you will be happy? I mean, external happiness that comes from sense gratification. There will be sense gratification, don't worry. There is some sense gratification, there is some prasadam, there is kirtan, there is whatever, there is happy married life. As happy as you like. In any case, when people try, they say, well, you know, but there's restrictions here, you know, so we can't be happy. Well, that, thanks Krishna, there's restrictions, otherwise you would be really miserable. Because in one sense you can say, in the material existence, you know, they're trying to unrestrictedly enjoy their senses. But by unrestrictedly enjoying the senses, you're doomed. You will certainly not be happy. I mean, it will be frustrating. There will be greed and lust, and calm, crowd, lobe, lust, anger, greed. If there's lust, anger, and greed, you're not happy. So this has to be. And then there's moha, mada, matsari. No, moha, mada, matsari. That's what it says. Illusion, madness, and envy. With envy there's why he, why not me? Why she, why not me? Why they have it so nice, and you know, my house is not as nice as their house, and their car is better than our car. What will the neighbors think about us? I don't know, something like that. Then how you can be happy? Because happiness comes from being Krishna conscious. Happiness is within. Okay, so in Vrindavan, the happiness comes from pleasing Krishna. You say, that's Vrindavan, where the happiness is to please Krishna. And then there can be the harmony, the unity in variety, as was spoken about. So Prabhupada said, we therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. So that's through God consciousness. We should understand that through Krishna consciousness. Well, Prabhupada, I should say, he says God consciousness here. Still, he didn't call the International Society for God Consciousness. That was in the beginning of calling International Society for Krishna consciousness. And then someone, maybe it was Kirtananda, said, why don't you just make it for God consciousness, now Krishna consciousness. Well, here Prabhupada says, through God consciousness also. Okay, any question, comment?
I was thinking this, that what was this part when they were talking about that they are not envious because they all have their, like, own...
They have enough food. There is enough food for everyone.
And they are happy, like serving Krishna in their own way.
Is it saying that or not? Did you
maybe something. I was thinking that is this enviness, like, does it have to do with impersonalism that we are thinking like that? Like it should be the same for everyone, and like looking at what like other people are doing and like wanting the same. So isn't it like if it's like unique, this relationship with Krishna.
And the relationship to Krishna is unique. Yes, no, then we envious of Vahi when we, well, the point is when you don't have a relationship to Krishna and someone else has a relationship to Krishna, you become envious. You may be envious. If you don't have a husband and someone else has a husband and they're happy, and then you immediately envy. Because you think they have something I don't have. So we can say that's envy. And then you can't say, oh, very nice. Someone with a husband, someone with a wife, or someone with success. Let's, you know, when you're not envious, you can say, oh, wonderful. Or you can allow them their happiness or whatever. So in, we can say that's the envy. So when we have Krishna, then we have nothing to be envious of, you know, because we have the best husband, the best friend, the best, you know, everything. So that's the challenge, is to have Krishna. And we don't need, and then we can allow the others their happiness, because I'm happy. Well, I'm truly happy, satisfied and all that. And others are satisfied in various ways, we don't need to be envious or malicious. Okay, so yes, Krishna consciousness. If you have Krishna, you don't need to be. There may be a compassion, of course. Then the sadhus maybe think, well, you may then envy someone because of sense gratification. When the sadhus will not be envious, they will be compassionate. They think, poor people entangled in sense gratification. This will not end good. But then we can say true compassion. At the same time, the compassion still you may just have to be able to allow others their pain. You can't save them. Okay. And then of course the variety. Well, that is also not unity and variety is you can, when we, everyone is, that we're discussing the unity, unless there is variety, there's no unity, okay. Oh, there should be no tigers. Okay, then there's war. There should be no snakes. Should not be no ticks. These ticks are too much. I don't know if you know what a tick is, no? You know, I don't know.
Small blood sucker animal.
In the forest, and maybe not just at the blood, but it can spread a dangerous disease. TB, what was it called? TB, Borrelia. Borrelia and another one. One is worse than the other. And these ticks are in our forest. If you get them, someone got this disease here also. Well, they are allowed. Okay, we have to allow them. We can't really do anything. No, we're going to exterminate them. Okay, then you exterminate, we're going to kill them. So then immediately, then there's not unity. There's, you know, they're not included, they're excluded. Then you have a fight. Krishna.
So that's enviousness, no? Not liking, like mosquitoes and this.
Yeah, some kind of envious. I'm not quite sure. I'm not a pure devotee yet. Because then we also have this snake, and there's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, kill it. So that may happen. But on the general principle, and then I don't know if there is mosquitoes, there's like two different versions. One version is that you may kill it, because it's an attacker, and it may give you malaria like that. The one is that you actually, no, you shouldn't. And it's a Bhagavatam 5th canto says, you know, there's a special hell for those who kill flies and mosquitoes and like that.
I think Shrutakirti said that once he was massaging Prabhupada somewhere in India where was a lot of mosquitoes, even though they had mosquito net, but while you open it to get in, like it was full with mosquitoes, and then Prabhupada said to him that, like, kill them or something.
Okay, so sometimes. But as a general principle, we allow them to live.
And with tigers, it seems, is it enviousness that, or it's their food to eat?
Well, it's their food also. That's another thing. But the mosquitoes have their food. Well, sometimes I do like this. I let one mosquito suck my blood and fly away. Okay. Now I've given my quota to the mosquitoes the rest. One or two can suck my blood. I mean, they should have. I mean, there's some purpose. Krishna takes it. One can like, okay, suck it. Okay, go. No more. I give it my quota today. Sometimes with donations in India, that's, I think, the beggars are sitting there. And I developed a system. What I did was, I gave some donation each day. Because having given to one, it was easier to say no to the other, okay. We're giving something a little bit. No, you can with a good conscience say, I've given. I don't know if they have to give to everyone who sits there. Or maybe some do like that, then they do like this. Or that by Govardhan there, you can buy coins. For 10 rupees you get 9 rupees worth of coins. And in that way you can so one way this guy is really smart. The first beggar is good. He sells the coins that he gives to the other. Gets more profit than the other beggars. But then you can give like, then the point is you give it a little bit by each, okay. So there is a point of giving a little bit to each, or many, let's say. But I thought, usually, when this old Mataji comes and begs from you, then you know. Well, at least to some Mataji you can give something. And then, having given something to someone, at least given something, then you're more peaceful in mind, you know. Now you may be able to say no to the next one, so. Because I have given. Okay, so then whose food is it? So the tiger, yes. Now they have their food. And I don't fully get it all together, but they have their food. And that is meat, yes, it is. And they kill other animals and eat them. But on the other hand, the tiger takes one animal, and then he eats, and then he sleeps whole day long. And the others can walk. He takes his quota. Sometimes it happens. Some animals in Sweden, I also know the fox, they sometimes kill more, seems that they kill more than they need. There's some other animal up in North Sweden that is quite aggressive to the reindeers. But then I understood that actually the foxes, what it is they take, like if they get access to this hönses, this chicken's house, and they go in and they can take one after the other if they get them. But then what they do is they go and bury them in the ground so they have them for later. So they're not like wasting them, they're putting up, stocking up so they have later when they can't get. Okay, so anyways, everyone has their quota, and the human beings actually quota as proper grains and milk and fruits and vegetables. And then one hand, some for us and some for the animals also. And if there's a proper, you know, that's also the animals. When the animals becomes a problem is when there's an imbalance. So that is the modern society, such an imbalanced way of living. So the animal becomes a problem. Just like we are down in Croatia on the islands, on the archipelago of Croatia was there. And that was that the birds started to eat more and more from the corn. Mice corn. Mm-hmm. And that actually, well, it made sense because it was less and less people was growing corn. But there was the same amount of birds. So when there was a lot of people growing corns, you know, birds came and ate a little bit somewhere here and there. You didn't notice it. It wasn't a problem. But if there's only one guy in the whole area, he grows a little bit corn in one corner, the birds has come. There's nothing left to it, so to say. Okay. So what I say with it, I could then say that Krishna consciousness is a balanced way of life. And it's a balanced way of life. You can be happy, you can be healthy. What more? Or was it more, he said here?
Have
good quality, peace of mind. Of course, balanced way of life, because you know the goal of life is Krishna. And that is the challenge, maybe they're healthy, because sometimes we approach Krishna consciousness in an unhealthy way. Maybe we're not so healthy. It becomes not so balanced, and then we may get sick. But then there is Ayurveda. And these things I recommend it to be healthy, study a little bit Ayurveda. It's good to know. So you know something, then you can start to adjust things. Okay, any more question or comment?
Yeah, there is this examples when like Haridas Thakur was chanting and snake was kind of coming in and not disturbing him, and Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting also, and Radhakund and Tiger was coming.
Yeah, but then Krishna was standing there guarding. Yeah, but the point is that also the animals pick up your vibrations, okay? A little bit. If you're disturbed or something, they go, they understand. Like also sharks, you can see some picture of a shark. That was something from. There's a big beach, there's people out swimming in the, you know, in the ocean there and playing around. Then the shark comes and gets someone who's just in the middle of the whole thing and then catches that one and drags off. Something like that. So why is that? Something attracted that some attracted, so to say. So when they pick up, the animals are more, they go more on the feeling, okay? So they're more sensitive to feeling, you know what? That guy has a strange mentality. He's a wanted thing. You know, it's like a consciousness. You know. You're too worried and excited, oh, then they can't. You can't. It's something when you're worried and fearful and like that, that kind of attracts that what you're worried about, fearful of, or hateful of, you attract it, some sort, like that. So when you're disturbed, you may attract disturbance. Or if you're fearful, then, you know, it's okay. If you're not fearful, then it's less risk of being attacked. Okay, so let's be Krishna conscious. And then in one way, this gives a direction what it means to be Krishna conscious. Say Krishna conscious, some abstract concept, but one can say Krishna, if I say that Krishna consciousness also means to be balanced and peaceful, happy, then that gives a kind of, you know, well, how far is it? Through Krishna consciousness, okay. But I have to make it livable. More questions, comments? You have something?
Yeah, you mentioned this, like it was said that devotees are happy, and then you say that materialist may think that so many regulations. Uh-huh. What's the happiness? And then there is this verse in Bhagavad Gita where it's
the regulative principles of freedom.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you read it?
But the person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord.
Yes, that's a nice verse. And then there is and then somewhere there is also stated about peace of mind and how can there be happiness without peace of mind. So if your mind is disturbed by all kind of desires and thoughts or whatever, something, envy and greed and lust, then you don't have peace of mind and you're not happy. Krishna. Okay, good. So that, which one verse was that?
264.
Good. Let's practice that. And go back home, back to God. And then make Amrishkot should be a Vrindavan forest. Amrishkot forest should be a Vrindavan forest where there's tigers and deer and all roam peacefully. And who knows, we maybe get some bears and foxes. Foxes, as they used to be around, foxes, badgers, and well, it's said here, there's the hunters. There was Lokanath, and other sources. Some say that the birds here seems more peaceful. They're less concerned, not so worried. And then there was the deer. So yes, the hunter was some neighbor Lokanath was speaking and saying, "Hey, this is strange," he said. "When it's hunting season, then all the deer comes over to your hunting score." And just like over the border, you know. And then they stand there and peacefully shoo, looking again. You are Alambic now, don't. Goodbye. But it's said like that, something like that. So it's already happening a little bit. Well, we can say a nice forest where we spoke yesterday about the food forest and, you know, forest where all things are like living in harmony together. Okay.
That's actually like, for example, bulls.
Bulls.
Yeah, in the West, it's considered impossible to keep the bull. Like, when they keep it, they are kind of in the cage.
Yeah, it's
time,
really weird.
Many rings and nose. And but in India, they walk on the streets, like, you know.
Yeah.
They are just, at least in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
And so there is something with... Yeah, they are more peaceful there, actually.
Yes.
And that's kind of a fact.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, one thing is there are different kind of brands, races, but the point is also how you're brought up. If you're brought, okay, then we can say our way of keeping cows in the West is violent. Okay, it's really violent in one sense. We're trying to be non-violent, but even that we maybe not really fully. But then but here in the West is the bull when. The problem with the bull, if you get in between a bull and his girlfriend, watch out, then you're finished. Sometimes in India, I've seen bulls fighting with each other over a lady, let's say, that I've seen, but sometimes, well, I've heard of incidents when there was something going on, but in general, they are very peaceful, but still, one more respectful. And they can go to care for cows and Kurma Rupa and his. He was dealing with them.
He doesn't have actually bulls.
No, but I know they used to come someone there outside and he was greeting him and giving him something to eat, I think. So in a way, when they're living in a natural way, they, you know, they become less agitated. Okay, good. Krishna. Then we end there. I wish you good luck with your continued reading of the Bhagavatam. While I'm gone, it looks like.
Festival.
We got him. It's going with him.